Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. Dr. Jennings is joining us today via Skype. The title of today's show is The Con of Consensus Statements. Wait a minute. Aren't consensus statements more valuable than just a single opinion? After all, there are more minds behind it. Dr. Jennings, help us out. What do we need to know?
So the problem with consensus statements is the idea that they have some representation of what is science. Over the last several years, multiple world policies that affect essentially every person on the globe have been built around consensus statements. And consensus statements are used in a way to intimidate minds to be agreeable when there is actually not validated evidence to support the conclusion. Let's be clear what consensus statements are. Consensus statements are not fact. They are not evidence. They are not science. They are opinions. Opinions of educated people. You could call them educated guesses. And there's a place for that in our society, and there's nothing wrong with doing that as long as they remain defined as what they are. This is our best guess. This is what our best opinion is. That's fine to put out there as long as we realize that is not settled fact, and that we remain open to question, to investigate, to test, to evaluate until we can come to provable, testable, reproducible conclusions that are settled, because that is what's called science. But just to verify, this isn't my opinion about what I'm saying about the consensus statement. Out of the medical journal Otolaryngology Head and Neck Surgery in 2015, they actually put in print, clinical consensus statements reflect opinions. Clinical consensus statements are more applicable to situations where evidence is limited or lacking. So think that through. We're about to create a national policy that's going to create a law that's going to affect every person's life, and we're going to base that on a consensus statement. And then we're going to call that science. No, we're basing that on opinion where evidence is limited or lacking.
But isn't that all we have sometimes? Isn't that all we have? We don't have enough facts, so we have to do something. Don't we have to come up with some kind of guideline?
So the problem with consensus statements, and this is how they're used, not that we don't seek consensus to learn from other people and remain open to have our positions challenged. The problem is that consensus statements become conclusions, and that if you question consensus statements, then once consensus statements are built, they're used politically, not scientifically, for the purpose of biased, agenda-driven people achieving various outcomes that benefit them. And thus, consensus statements are used in this way. We have a consensus statement. This is the truth. Stop asking questions. If you don't understand our conclusions, this is our consensus, then you're ignorant, you're foolish, you're lacking intelligence. Every smart person knows this is what the consensus is. If you are intelligent enough and perhaps have your own credentials to question the consensus statement, then you must be a conspiracy theorist, you must be an anarchist, you must be a heretic. Or if you don't follow the prescription as outlined by the consensus statement conclusions, then you're a dissident, unpatriotic, you're deserving of punishment. We should restrict your license to practice medicine or take away your board certification because you've questioned what the consensus is. Consensus statements have been used like this. And remember, by definition, consensus statements are used when evidence is lacking. But they're not used in a way that says evidence is lacking. They're used as a way to stop inquiry, stop investigation. Michael Crichton, who was a physician and also a writer and a producer, gave a lecture on science back in 2003 before his passing, and he stated in his lecture, "I regard consensus statement science as an extremely pernicious development that ought to be stopped cold in its tracks. Historically, the claim of consensus has been the first refuge of scoundrels. It is a way to avoid debate by claiming the matter is already settled. Consensus is the business of politics. The greatest scientists in history are great precisely because they broke with consensus. There is no such thing as consensus science. If it's consensus, it's not science. If it's science, it's not consensus. Let's look at history, Charles.
Yeah.
And see where consensus statements were used on the populace to cause great harm. And remember, consensus statements are a group of experts coming to a conclusion and saying the matter is settled, don't question, do what we say. I think we can make a case that at the time of Noah's Ark, there was a consensus of the scientific experts of the day that there could be no such thing as rain.
That's true. That's true.
Okay?
Yep.
And this consensus can be science. It can be theological consensus. The theological consensus of the Sanhedrin 2,000 years ago was that Jesus was guilty of heresy. Yeah. Yeah. And deserved crucifixion.
Yeah. Yeah.
The theological consensus was that Galileo was a heretic for saying that the earth revolved around the sun. The theological consensus was that Martin Luther was a heretic. Medical consensus was that Louis Pasteur's germ theory was nuts and crazy, and there was no need to wash your hands or sterilize instruments before surgery. Mm. And in fact, the medical consensus in Louis Pasteur's day, when he came up with his understanding of microscopic germs you couldn't see, they wanted to have him arrested and imprisoned.
My.
Physicians under consensus used to practice bleeding and leeching to bleed out the evil humors when people were sick.
Yeah.
Medical professionals under consensus used to prescribe cigar and tobacco smoke to treat lung disease. In the 1930s and 40s, doctors rejected hypertension as a medical problem and refused to treat it. And there is a consensus in the world science community of the world today that there is no God. We evolved from slime or lower life forms.
That's right.
The consensus.
That's right. That's right.
There's a consensus that we have a climate crisis facing us, in contradiction to what Scripture teaches. There's a consensus over the last several years that there was a global, naturally occurring viral infection, and there was a consensus that this man-made injection could save everybody's life. I think you know the evidence is really exposing all of that was not science. That was opinion, and it was opinion that's provably false now. I'll say the con of consensus statements are, when you hear consensus statements, you should be asking, what's the evidence?
Mm-hmm.
What's
mm-hmm.
the science? And the fraudsters will say, well, that's consensus science. Consensus mm-hmm. science is not science.
Mm-hmm.
Science is testable. Science inquires. There's an old saying that I love, the truth loses nothing by investigation. It has nothing to fear for inquiring. If it's actually true and you're a lover of truth, you want your hypotheses and theories tested and challenged, because if it's actually correct, it will be verified. Louis Pasteur did not fear people testing whether it's actually infecting bacteria and other germs that can cause disease. Test it, see, and guess what happened? It was right, so it was proved verifiable over and over again. This is what happens when you're a lover of truth. Truth doesn't have to have a consensus. It stands on its own.
Dr. Jennings, would I be safe in saying that most of the religions of today are the result of consensus statements?
You mean like the religion of earth worship called the Green Movement, or the religion of fertility cult worship in the gender movement? This whole called gender affirming care, that's all consensus.
Mm-hmm.
That is not science.
Mm-hmm.
If you go with science, you would not actually embrace any of that stuff they're doing to children.
A Bible, and in the Bible are facts, provable facts. And then you have all these religions built on the same Bible, and you would think they'd be all the same religion. They were all dealing with facts. So they've taken the facts somehow and turned them into consensus statements, just like you mentioned in several other examples there. People took the same facts and changed them to other things. Is that what's happening in religion today?
I think to a great degree you're correct. There are lots of religions that are built on consensus or theological opinion,
yes,
not actual objective testable evidence.
Yeah.
And when you actually understand what I believe Scripture teaches, Scripture teaches that we are to integrate the revealed will of God as recorded in Scripture with what God has revealed in science and nature, in Romans 1:20, God's divine nature seen in what he has made so that men are without excuse, and with how life actually works, life experiences, taste and see that the Lord is good, apply God's methods, and then evaluate the outcome. All three of these must be harmonized. And what happens when we don't actually apply a reality-based understanding to Scripture and instead create a fantasy-based understanding, fantasy-based that somehow our theological understanding is not connected to how God's reality works. And there's lots of things taught in Christianity and other religions that are almost functionally superstitious. Paul talked about that in the New Testament. That when we do that, we make ourselves vulnerable to surrendering our religious beliefs to a consensus of theological experts.
Okay, I'm going to put you to the test here, Dr. Jennings. You mentioned the Green Movement, and that is a consensus statement result. How would you shape the Green Movement based on facts? What are we missing?
You have to first understand that entire movement is founded on people who don't believe in God.
Okay. Yeah.
So their worldview is that this world is going to implode on itself as human overpopulation destroys the planet and we destroy ourselves. So we have to do something to save the planet because the planet is our mothership. Mm-hmm. And so the planet becomes more important than people. This is contrary to a biblical worldview that teaches no matter what we do, the world as we know it is infected with sin. All nature groans under the weight of sin. It's dying. And Christ is coming to replace this world with a new heaven and a new earth, the home of the righteous. And so we are to be good stewards in how we manage the planet. We don't exploit, we don't abuse, we don't pollute, we don't do those things, but we certainly never prioritize the planet over the people. Our goal is to save the people because we're not going to be able to save the planet.
Okay, in the 2 minutes we have left here, how would you, fact-based you, not consensus statement, deal with the pandemic?
You don't even have to believe in the Bible. All you had to do was adhere to the historic standards of medical ethics. And the historic standards of medical ethics were always one about you present the pros and the cons and the risks, and you leave people free to decide for themselves whether they want to accept a medical treatment or they don't accept a medical treatment. Mm-hmm. We historically never quarantine asymptomatic healthy people. We quarantine symptomatic people or people who have documented exposures, and then those quarantines are only for a brief inoculation period, not lockdowns for months and months at a time and prevent people from socializing. So the historical medical ethics are you present truth and love, and you leave people free to decide for themselves what medical treatments they want to apply to themselves, and then you only ultimately intervene in a communicable disease in places where there's actual symptoms of disease.
Dr. Jennings, I want you to give us one final statement. How do we face the world and not give into consensus statements? What do we do?
Well, the big problem with the consensus statement is they work to get you to surrender your mind, your thinking to the influence of other human beings. We have created the image of God. We have our own mind and ability to think and to reason, and we are to exercise that to develop the mind of Christ, where we have, as it says in Hebrews 5:14, the mature developed by practice, the ability to discern the right from the wrong, and thus we must be thinkers and not reflectors of other people's thoughts. We are to develop our own minds, and that's what common reason is all about, teaching people how to critically reason. Consensus statements are just the opposite. They're about dumbing you down to get you to accept the opinions of others without thinking for yourself.
All right. Very good. We've been talking with Dr. Tim Jennings here today via Skype. He is the founder and director of Common Reason Ministries. They have a website, commonreason.com. I invite you to stop by there. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Once again, that website, comeandreason.com. Check it out, listener. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.